Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it.
Black, white, right, left.
Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Hello, welcome again to Whiskey Congress. Steve is not with me in studio. This is Jim calling or talking from Cleveland. Steve, how you doing, man? Where are you?
I'm good, man. I am in my my normal Baltimore area. Actually, I'm actually in Frederick. You know, where you're familiar with.
All too familiar with Frederick. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, flew in tonight and then drove from BWI to Frederick. So. I am holed up in a hotel here and, you know, ready to get rolling.
So we left off talking about Al Franken, and I want to get back to that and figure out where we should, you know, re-engage in that conversation. I enjoyed talking to you the other night. It was a bit heated. Also ended with football interfering with our conversation, which I have no objection to because it was a fun football Sunday. But being in Baltimore, there's a couple stories out of Baltimore that need to get talked about.
Yeah, so I think I kind of right out of the gate. So you have a story about a Baltimore police officer who was shot and killed. And that in and of itself, unfortunately, isn't the thing that stands out. Detective Sean Suter was shot and killed on November 15th. And what's interesting about this story is that the next day he was supposed to be testifying in a corruption trial where there've already been some indictments of other police officers. And so the timing of him being killed, you know, the day before he's supposed to testify, really, you know, kind of raises a red flag. The story itself doesn't quite make a lot of sense. You know, Suter was with his partner. They noticed a guy, you know, they were, you know, investigating another homicide. And then he and his partner noticed a guy, you know, acting odd. And so Suter somehow ends up alone with the guy in an alley. And then he ends up shot in the head with his own gun. The partner says he heard gunshots and took cover behind something and doesn't know what happened. And, you know, the story even of itself, like in the Washington Post, the story says that he died with his radio in his hand. But then there are other stories saying that he was rushed to the hospital and, you know, put on life support and they tried to save him and he died at the hospital. So I guess the question is, did he die on the scene with the radio in his hand, or did they rush him to the hospital? Did he die at the hospital? You know, there's some weird questions about that. His partner that he was with that day wasn't his normal partner. And that particular partner has had more than 25% of his cases kind of thrown out because of, you know, improper
misconduct,
procedure,
right,
and conduct unbecoming. So it's just a bizarre story. And you, in this day and age where, you know, there's so much angst against the police, there's so much, you know, there's so many calls for the police to do better, especially in Black communities. And you have a police officer who's going to go in and say, you know what, you know, because one of the big things that, you know, you and I and other people have called for and said, listen, we know all cops aren't bad. But what we need are the good ones to stand up and point out the ones that are bad. So, you know, they can, you know, help kind of clean up their own house and, you know, clean it up from the inside out. And that's what this
right.
guy was about to do. And all of a sudden he ends up dead under shady circumstances. Now, you know, the Baltimore police and the Baltimore police chief are saying, well, it's all coincidental. I see where you're getting conspiracy, but clearly obviously there's nothing to see here. It was just a random act of violence. You know, look at the neighborhood, you know, look at the way it happened. I mean, shot with his own gun, blah, 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 nothing to see here. And I just, the way that the commissioner is sweeping it under the rug, you know, just it, it, it doesn't do anything to kind of quell my curiosity as to what's going on here. And it makes me very nervous that, you know, that this cop may have been killed by other police officers.
You don't know it, but whistleblowers have not had
whistleblowers amongst police have not had the easiest of times in doing that, you know, in blowing the whistle and saying, you know, this is what I know in terms of corruption. You know, I mean, obviously we've all seen movies and, you know, art often imitates life and vice versa. And so, again, I can't tell you what's happened. I'm not close enough to the Baltimore police to know anything. I don't even know if this would be a question for Mike Wood, because he's been removed from the police department in Baltimore for a while now.
I think it's a question for Mike.
What I'm saying is, you know, I think he can talk about it from, you know, his experience.
Right. From an objective. I got you.
But in terms of specifics as to what could be going on here and maybe Mike worked for some of these people, so maybe he would have a better idea of kind of what the dynamic is. It's definitely worth talking to him about. But I mean, it's just a very scary proposition. You know, if you ever watch The Wire or any of these, you know, dramatic cop shows, it's one thing on a TV show or a movie, but it's a whole other thing when this is actually, this could be a real life situation where you have a good cop who, you know, maybe he was a dirty cop. Listen, I was just as involved as everybody else, and this is how I can tell you that this person was involved, that person was involved, and that person was involved. Either way, you know, it's things like that where you know, a lot of these, you know, police departments in cities like Baltimore, Cleveland, Chicago, St. Louis,
Los Angeles, New York. I mean, yeah, Charlotte, name it.
You know, Baltimore, Chicago, Cleveland, St. Louis, D.C., I mean, like, they have, you know, some of the worst violent crime rates in the country. And if you remove Chicago alone, then, you know, the crime rates in the country overall are dramatically at their lowest point than they ever have been. And they still are, even with those Chicago numbers. But Chicago is such a crazy outlier with what's going on there that it kind of makes the numbers, it skews the numbers kind of in the wrong direction. And that's how fucked up it is there. You know, and not to throw it in like, hey, look at Chicago, you know, when people talk about gun control and they talk about, you know, black on black crime or whatever, all those sort of like pivot conversations. But the reality is that the violence in Chicago is out of control. Baltimore is very similar. DC is very similar. Cleveland, St. Louis, like the numbers are very, very high compared to everywhere else in the country. And for those, and part of the problem with the violence is the fact that the police departments have some issues internally. Right. This isn't me just kind of guessing this. This is based off of data from the Department of Justice. This is from the data from the police departments themselves, and they need to be cleaned up. It has to happen from the inside. And if people who are trying to clean it up on the inside end up dead, then that may impact their ability to not suck.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I agree. I do think that we should talk to Mike about this. He actually reached out to us today. His book is out, Crimes and Punishment in the 21st Century. It's available on Amazon. I know I'm doing a commercial. But it's worth saying.
It's definitely worth it. I mean, I jumped into it on the plane. You know, I mean, it's a very short ride, short flight from Cleveland to Baltimore. So I wasn't able to get into it too deep. And you know my issues with sleeping on planes. We talked about
my jealousy of the fact that you can sleep on a plane and I can't.
Yeah, and it's not that I want to, and it's not that the book was boring. It's just that when you get me on a plane and I hear those engines humming, like it's like being up against, you know, your mom's bosom as a baby. It just like instantly puts me out. But
leave my mom out of this, you son of a bitch.
No, I got through the foreword. I got through the first couple chapters of it, and I was very interested and intrigued. Wanted to read more. But, you know, nature kind of took its course on me. But I, earlier, I wasn't saying I didn't want to talk to Mike Wood about it. I just was saying, you know, I think that some of the we're going to be limited on perspective just because it will depend
on direct contact, because he has been out of the right. force for a while.
Yeah, that's all I was saying.
Understood.
Don't make it seem like I didn't want to talk to him.
No, I did not mean to imply that. You know, Steve, I would know we're going to go there, because when we left our last conversation, you and I were head to head over the Al Franken issue, and we kind of got shut down based on time, because we were I was after a Buffalo Bills game and you were headed to a Steelers game and we were to watch games. And so my alcohol consumption and your desire to see a game kind of, shut the door on continuing conversation. But we talked about Al Franken, I think, extensively. There were other issues similar in nature. I mean, John Conyer, sorry. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, so John Conyer, he's a representative out of Michigan. And it started kind of with a slow trickle. One of his, staffers said that, I believe he had either exposed himself to her or, touched her inappropriately. So something like that. Or I don't know.
I mean, a lot of the allegations against him were not even sexual in nature.
Wait. I don't even know what he did with her, but what we do know is that he ended up settling the case. And right. That's where it started. It's just like, we don't know what she accused him of. She kind of, I think she agreed to a non-disclosure agreement. So we don't know exactly what the facts are, but what we do know is that he settled that case. And so because he settled it, there are a lot of people saying, all right,
gag order,
settlement basically equals guilty. And so they were calling for him to step down, which he was going to fight the good fight. But then multiple other, accusers came out with some pretty egregious stories of him, asking for massages, answering the door nude, touching inappropriately and so on and so forth. And so, he is gracefully, air quotes around that, stepping down and bowing out and saying, amid these allegations, I'll just step down until we can, get it all sorted out. Which is the right move. I just think that,
agreed.
Listen, I think with a lot of these guys where there's smoke, there's fire, I do recognize that we need to be careful. Because there are those that there are, people who will claim to be victims, that are just looking for their spot in the sun, or they're looking to take someone down, or they're looking for money or whatever it might be. And so there is the risk of that. But the reality is, and I think what we're starting to see and what we probably know or have known for a while, is that there is a lot of mistreatment, sexual abuse, sexual harassment, just sexual inappropriateness that women have to deal with. And I guess the point I was trying to make is I'm not going to lump them all in the same basket. But what I will say is, if I get enough credible accusations against a person, especially a person in a position of power in the Congress or the Senate, or a big time Hollywood producer or an actor, someone with some sort of level of influence, then I think it's fair to say that they get removed from the public spotlight. Now, I'm not saying they all need to be criminally prosecuted and sentenced to 15 years in prison and need to be castrated. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that if there are multiple accusations of you acting inappropriately towards men or women, but just being sexually inappropriate, then I think the appropriate measure is for you to step out of the public. You lose your power until you can prove to otherwise be trustworthy again. And it sucks that, it's just like, well, what if he's able to prove it? All right, well, if he's able to prove it, then, sorry that you lost that. But, I mean, that's the state that we live in right now. And there's so much of it that it's hard to decipher what's what.
And we kind of, as we go, we'll have to establish a baseline.
It's a tough balance between giving the benefit of the doubt to the victim and giving a fair trial to the accused, right?
Yeah, but no, I mean, like, there's a difference between the court of law and a court of public opinion.
Agreed.
You know, there's a huge difference.
Go ahead.
And in the court of public opinion, you're not innocent until proven guilty. That's not the standard. The standard is whatever the public wants the standard to be. You know,
I agree. I agree. I'm just saying that it is unfair that you can hurl an accusation out and have it taken as truth.
But it's also unfair that a victim can sexually abused.
Yeah, yes,
and,
exactly.
And a victim can be discredited just because a person is.
The victim has a standard in the public court of public opinion that if you can't prove this beyond a reasonable doubt, it didn't happen. That is also not fair. Right.
And so the victim is in a really bad situation. And I think that, you know, we need to look at we have to protect these women. We have to protect women. We have to protect people who are vulnerable. And we take those accusations seriously. We need to isolate the person who's been accused, and we need to look at the situation. Now, if nothing is able, like even with Roy Moore, it all sounds bad, but like I don't know where I come out on it. Right. I mean, there's been stuff to say that these women work for, you know, the DNC and, or Hillary or whoever. Right. And maybe they're, you know, because the whole thing, remember with the yearbook, it was just like, listen, let a third party independent,
lab that the writing was right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, but they won't.
And Gloria Allred has avoided that, which makes it very suspicious. At all costs.
I don't know what Roy Moore is. I mean, I have my suspicions. It's Alabama. There's certain things about it that seem like it could be, the fact, you know, you take a guy who's so crazy over the top religious, that feels like someone who's hiding something, who's trying to make up for something or cover it up with how overly religious he is. And we'll get to where there's a pattern where we've seen this before. I think even with, Mike Pence hates gays, right?
You've seen my stand-up bit about that, right? You didn't.
I didn't see your stand-up bit, but I mean, you said it in a non-stand-up comedic terms before that you think that he's hiding or repressing his own, homosexual tendencies through his hate and anger towards gay and trans people, which I could definitely see that. It happens with people in the Black community. You know, it's just that self-loathing to the point where you see people who look like you and you hate them and you want to attack them. And so all that to say, I don't know what Roy Moore is, and I don't know what the standard should be, but like with a guy like that, while I don't know if I necessarily trust him, I don't know if we have enough information to actually say, all right, you lose your position, you lose your power. You know, I mean, I think ideally anytime we hear these accusations, I think my thought and a lot of people's thought is, well, just remove them. And if they're not guilty, we'll figure it out later. But the more I think about it, I think I guess we have to be careful, which is what you were trying to say. We have to be careful not overreacting and just removing everyone who has been accused immediately if the stories don't hold up.
Totally agree.
But the problem is though, almost all these stories are going to be he said, she said. You're not going to have video. You're not going to have, well, you know, there's not going to be body cam footage. In the case of Moore,
they're going to be 40-year-old, he said, she said.
Right. I mean, it's just like, but even if it's 10 years, 5 years, even if it's 1 year.
Yeah, 2 months, know,
what,
right.
What difference does it make? I mean, you're still not going to have evidence. I mean, unless the girl says, you know, she's like, listen, you know, he raped me and these are the underwear I had on afterwards, and, you know, test them for DNA and right. You know, there you go. I mean, at least then you have some sort of a baseline of say, okay, something happened. You know, and for a lot of these guys, just the fact that something happened, you know, with some of these guys being married and doing shady shit on the side, like that in and of itself could get a lot of these guys in trouble. But, you know, it's a very difficult situation when you have a victim saying, this happened to me. She has no way to prove it. And you have a person like a person in a position of power who can go to they're just trying to tear me down. So, you know, like I was saying, I mean, I think with Roy Moore, I'm not sure where I stand. Well, I can tell you where I stand. I personally think that it's just a decision that's going to have to come down to the people of Alabama. And I think the people of Alabama are going to be willing to overlook whatever it is that they think he did or didn't do. And that's something that the rest of us will have to live with. You know, I mean, I think again, the court of public opinion will decide. And that's the parameter of the court will be the people and the voters in the state of Alabama. I think that they will side with him more as a thumb in the nose, you know, more of them thumbing their nose at everyone else, saying, you know, like kind of telling them who they should vote for. I think that they're going to stand beside him. It may be a hold your nose and hope for the best sort of situation. But I mean, I think a guy like Roy Moore, you know, stays in the forefront, stays in power, gets elected, and we'll have to deal with him as things go, unless somebody drops a bombshell, you know, that can be proven. You know, another guy that was in the right. news, another guy that was in the news is Joe Barton. You know, Joe Barton is a representative out of the state of Texas, who his situation is a little bit different. You know, he was separated from his wife. He was involved with a woman. He sent this woman some nude photos of himself. You know, they were in a consensual relationship. You know, essentially he was sexting her. She accepted the photos. It wasn't a big deal. And then recently the photos kind of resurfaced. And some people have called for him to step down and resign.
You can't recognize that no woman actually wants naked photos of a dude.
Right.
I've never talked to a female friend who said, you know what I'd love to get is naked pictures of you. Now, maybe that's an indictment of me. I'm not totally dismissing that.
Well, I mean, I guess depending on who the guy is, I mean, there's a small percentage of men on the planet who women probably wouldn't mind a naked photo from. But I just can't imagine that this Joe Barton guy is in that.
The following men may submit these pictures in alphabetical order: Pitt, Bradley. That is all.
Right. But, you know, I just, maybe like Shamar Moore or something like that.
Not appreciated.
I don't know, if you're intimately involved with someone and that's the relationship you guys have, you know, you share these kind of intimate tweets with each other, or not tweets, text.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I think
I don't have a problem with it happening. I'm just saying when it's unwanted, it is truly unwanted.
Agreed. But I mean, aside from the comedic aspect of this,
which is all again, I care about,
the whole point is that the guy, this is a situation where there's nothing there, right? Like someone thought that they had a gotcha moment on this Joe Barton guy. You know, the biggest thing, I guess you could say, well, if you're going to be in the public eye, you may want to make better decisions on, you know, how you show your intimacy with your partner. But if you don't mind, I mean, the photos were out there, and if you don't mind people seeing you naked, and you weren't sending them to underage girls, and you were sending them to women who didn't mind the pictures, you know, you've done something.
In being fair and addressing your point, This was not an unsolicited, you know, it was a person. He was in a relationship that maybe not have been the most intelligent relationship, but hey, that happens. It was not an unsolicited come on. It was a relationship where intimate things were exchanged. And when it became advantageous for her to release them following that relationship, it was not so classy.
Right. I mean, but I mean, I think it's not so classy on her part, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Still, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
Right. I mean, because I'm not going to land base. Like, listen, I don't land base. You know, there's different people who've had their cell phones or their cloud accounts hacked, where their nudes have gotten out, whether it's Jennifer Lawrence or what's her name? Kate Upton.
Right.
You know, there are a number. Right. I mean, and so I don't like a lot of people attack those women and said, well, you shouldn't have had those nude photos. Fuck that. I mean,
my girlfriend, Olivia Munn, I mean, right. She got destroyed.
Those women have every right to, if they want to swap nude photos with their boyfriends or their husbands or whatever, they have every right to do that. And then there's a certain level of trust that you have to have. Now, if you want to argue you can't trust anybody, you can make that argument.
That's a different argument, though.
But it's a different argument, and it also sucks, right? Like, that we live in a society where we can't trust people. You know, my thing is, you want to do nude photos, and you do nude photos. And as long as you don't give a fuck if people see them, then, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to tell someone to step down because they took nude photos of themselves and sent them to someone who didn't mind receiving them.
Totally agree. I was hanging out with a good friend from college this last weekend, and he and I were, you know, out hunting and whatever, and we were talking, and we said, can you imagine what it would be like if we had to deal with that shit when we were in college? Because when I was in college in the early 90s, you didn't worry about getting accidentally filmed or even...
Well, Jim, I mean, that was then, but I mean, I graduated college in 2004 and we didn't have to worry about that.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, I mean, we had camcorders, you know, camcorders were much smaller when I was in college than when you were in college. So
they still exist. Actually, funny story, the same guy had a camcorder and there were embarrassing camcorded photos or camcorded videos, but you knew there was a camcorder following what you were doing. I mean, there was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I guess you could have maybe hidden a camcorder. But I mean, I doubt it. But I mean, my whole point is, you know, I mean, like, this is something new in the last 10 years that people have to deal with, is, you know, kind of like their privacy. But even this was a choice that he made to do something.
Right.
He shared it with someone. You know, I mean, and I guess you have to kind of be careful if, you know, they were exchanging sexy messages, like words, and then he escalated to, hey, here's a picture of me and my dick. Then, you know, you got to be careful of that, because she could theoretically say maybe she didn't want the photo. Like, she didn't mind having sex with him. She didn't mind exchanging sexy texts, but she didn't want a nude photo. Like, you know, I mean, it gets hard for her to make that.
Where do you draw the line?
Right. But I mean, like, I guess my whole point is that with this Joe Barton guy, I don't really have a problem with it. I don't want to see.
I agree with you. I don't want to see it, but.
But I mean, I'm not going to call for him. I'm not calling for his head because he sent a nude photo to a woman he was dating when he was separated from his wife. It's a non-story that they tried to make a story. And we're talking about it only because I guess I'm defending Joe Barton. And in return, I want to make sure that he ensures me that I never see him naked.
Completely fair. No objections there. And so then, go ahead.
So that pushes us to, like, this. So we had a, you know, a list of bad actors. But my next guy is Wes Goodman. All right, Jim, do you know Wes Goodman's story?
Only because you told me.
Oh, I already told you. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you again.
Do it.
So Wes Goodman is, he's a representative out of Ohio. He is far right conservative, family values, anti-LGBTQT. Like, he's, you know, pretty much anti-gay, votes against votes against gay marriage, is against, you know, trans,
you know, gender reassignment surgery, all that sort of stuff. The bathroom bill, he was all against it. He's a guy, he's about 35. So he's young. He was considered an up-and-coming star in the conservative, you know, realms of politics. And his story kind of gets started a couple years ago, where he was at a fundraiser or a conference, and he was staying at someone else's house, and there were young teenage boys there, and one of the boys woke up, the kid was like 17, and he woke up to this Wes Goodman like trying to unzip his pants at a sleepover, like at a you know. So the guy whose house it was, and I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy says, all right, you can't be around me and my family or whatever. Go back to Ohio. We'll never talk about this again. And then that was kind of the end of it. So, again, Wes Goodman, you know, family values guy, anti-gay, everything else. You fast forward to, you know, a couple months ago or last month, and it turns out that Wes Goodman was banging a man in his office, in his congressional office, you know, after hours, and got busted. And so then has had to since step down. Now, oddly enough, I on Twitter, I reached out to Breitbart for comment on this, and they have not responded.
Shocking. I mean, that's not a new, event that the intense anti-gay candidate is suddenly caught being in a gay situation. I mean, I forget the name of the Minnesota senator who was in the senator who was in the Minnesota airport, who was like,
yeah, you know, I think he was from like South Dakota or North Dakota.
Yeah, but he was like, his last name I think was Craig. And he was.
I take a wide stance when I pee.
Right, exactly. So that's nothing new. Now that's, yeah.
Well, it's not that it's new. None of this is new. None of this is new. Like that's it's not about any of this being new, right? Like, I mean, you know, Joe Barton's situation isn't new. John Conyers, none of Al Franken, none of this shit is new. But now it's out in the open, and I think that we need to address all of it, including whether it's the Democrats that we like, the conservatives that we don't like. You know, when these guys do this shit, like, it needs to be exposed.
Hypocrisy needs to be agreed.
Right. Now, in this situation, this guy, you know, Wes Goodman, the guy that he was banging in his office was of age. So, you know, the only issue is that he was married and he was doing it on government property. But,
okay,
you know, but it still matters. So, you know, and it goes to the whole thing we were talking about earlier, you know, these self-loathing, self-hating people who, you know, they preach one thing, but they live their lives in a completely different manner, which completely is the opposite of, you know, kind of what they advocate for and or against in their public persona.
Agreed, and I think it's funny how much hidden self-loathing there is, but there's also the self-loving, and Donald Trump clearly is self-loving. He had some tweets that you sent to me today, one of which was, your favorite president, me. And I just want to turn this over to you, because I don't feel like I deserve.
Yeah. So I mean, so Donald Trump tweets out this morning, you know, like first thing in the morning, 6 a.m. It was like the first thing I saw when I woke up, which is annoying. But he says we should have a contest as to which of the networks, plus CNN, and not including Fox, is the most dishonest, corrupt, and or distorted in its political coverage of your favorite president, me, in parentheses. They are all bad. Winner to receive the fake news trophy. Now, a couple things to point out is, he says we should have a contest at which as to which of the networks plus CNN. So what he's saying is, you know, all the networks plus CNN So he's saying CNN isn't a network, right? Like, right. Because they're so bad, they're so fake, they're not a network. And then, but it doesn't, this contest doesn't include Fox, because they don't do fake news. They only do good news, because they only do real news, because they don't say anything bad about Donald Trump. And so, I mean,
how fucked up is that?
I mean, it's just bizarre. You know, and this whole thing where he labels himself as your favorite president and then puts me in parentheses just so we're aware that he's talking about
just
himself.
In case you didn't know, I'm talking about
just me. In case, right? I mean, it's frustrating because, you know, people thought that George W. Bush made us look bad on the international stage, which, you know, in some instances he may have, but now. He literally makes George W. Bush seem like Abraham fucking Lincoln.
Agreed. I mean, it's hilarious that he is.
He's the leader of the free fucking world.
Even beyond that, I'm not even beyond that. In addition to that, today he was talking to a group of Native Americans regarding the veterans who were the quote unquote wind talkers. I mean, in World War II, Native American servicemen did a lot to help us defeat Japan based on using their you know, their language as code talkers. And in that, he makes a comment about Elizabeth Warren and calling her Pocahontas. But you guys are okay then. Oh my goodness! Do you really not get it? Is it that?
His statement literally was, you know, you guys are okay. We even have a Native American on Capitol Hill. They call her Pocahontas, right? Like, and the thing is, the guys he was speaking to, the men he was honoring, quote unquote, I don't even think they got the reference that he was talking about Elizabeth Warren. You know, when he said it, the guys just kind of had this confused look like, no, there's no Pocahontas on Capitol Hill, but whatever, you crazy fuck. it blows my mind. I mean, like the Elizabeth Warren thing aside, you know, she did that to herself because, you know, she came out saying that she was, you know, she was 1/8 of a tenth of Navajo or whatever. But even still, like, that's such an inappropriate time for him to make that comment. I don't know what was going through his head, but you know what? He's gotten away with saying the most ridiculous things and it hasn't hurt him. This won't hurt him. This won't budge his numbers at all. You know, I mean, today was a doozy for him. He came out today and he said that the Access Hollywood tape, where he said you gotta move on a bitch, and he just goes up and kisses women and grabs them by the pussy. He says that tape is fake.
I saw that, and I you know what? I forgot to bring that up in our conversation earlier, because now he's challenging the authenticity of that,
which is crazy because he's already apologized for it, right? I mean, he apologized for it. He's like, hey, I'm sorry, but Bill Clinton has said much worse to me on golf course.
Right. Yeah, I won't say he truly apologized. He did sort of tap to his apology. He acknowledged the reality of it, yes.
Yes. I mean, he acknowledged it. He said Bill Clinton has said much worse. I mean, I think he did say it was a flippant I'm sorry. And then
I've never heard him say the words I'm sorry is all I'm arguing. Okay,
whatever. But, you know, he's gone to he immediately went to
the others are worse.
Hillary's worse. The Clintons are worse. You know, Jobs, build a wall, MAGA, and then you know, everybody forgot about it.
It is amazing. The fact that he's trying to claim that it's not legitimate is crazy. I don't know where to go next. I kind of want to talk about sports for a bit.
I think I'm going to go ahead and shut it down. I got to be up pretty early tomorrow.
All right. You want to talk Tyrod Taylor real quick or no?
No, we can. You know, we'll catch up on it. We'll talk sports soon. A sports show later. But
sounds good.
Let's go ahead and shut it down, and then I'll talk to you when I get back to the Midwest.
Sounds good, man. Hey, first of all, you know, thanks for you know, dealing with all the travel bullshit and giving us some time to talk. I like you know all too well how much I know that area and how much time I've spent there. Let's talk soon and good night. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. We are whiskeycongress.com. We're available on iTunes and all those podcast outlets. Anything you want to close out with?
Nope. We'll just talk to you later.
All right. Miss you, man. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye.